It was a snake, you know. It was the first snake. The snake that tempted Adam and Eve, our forefather and mother, in the garden so long ago. It was a snake for the reason we were cast out. We were taught that as young children, memorized it in our hearts. We know the stories of how a snake was lifted up in the wilderness and God healed our people. And so the man must be lifted up as Moses did in the snake in the wilderness. I was told that many years ago. It was 3, actually. Didn't understand it then. I do now. You might know my name, but that's probably all you know about me. I was much like you, a son to parents. Wealthy parents, though, in Jerusalem. Wealthy and influential. But you know how it is. Those who have power often want to have some more. And to get by in Jerusalem back in those days, they had to be part of the religious authority. So my father came up to me one day, and he said to me, "My son Nicodemus, we are a powerful family. You will do well in this world, but you can do more. No, my son, you must become a Pharisee, the highest that we can make you in the Jewish people. Then we will have influence and power." I did that. I became a Pharisee, a teacher of the law, respected among my Jewish people. It wasn't enough. My father wanted more. He said, "Son, it is well and good that you are a Pharisee, but we can be so much more. You can be so much more. Think of all the change and good you can do for our people. You must become part of the Sanhedrin, the ruling council of all of the Jewish people, the highest religious order that we have." And through his money and influence, I became part of it. Nicodemus didn't really want that. I was there. Kept my head down. Kept saying the right things. Keeping the peace. Never speaking up. Seems only brave men want to be part of that, but I was not brave. I was a coward. Fearful of my position. Fearful of losing it. Fearful of them seeing me for who I am. A man and nothing more. I was a coward tonight. It happened, I can't remember, a couple hours ago, just this morning, it seems like an age. I was in my bed, and one of the servants came up to me. He shook me awake and said, "They've called a meeting of the Sanhedrin. You must go quickly to the temple." This is unheard of. It is illegal. We do our work by the light of the day and the light of God. Only those who wish for evil do their work in the night. It is illegal to do so. And yet, even though I knew this, I went. Wondering all the while, what could be so important that Caiaphas, the high priest, and all the Sanhedrin would call us all together for an illegal meeting? So I went, and there I saw him, Jesus, but not as I remember him. He was alone for one. He was alone. His followers were no longer with him. I don't imagine why they weren't. He was surrounded by armed guards, tied up with ropes. All around him, people were yelling at him. They were screaming at him. They were accusing him of such things, and he was just silent. I remember meeting him only a couple years ago in the middle of the night. This is not what I remember. This is wrong. I had to say something. You would have said something, perhaps. So I took what I could say, and I just said, is it right in our own law that we should judge a man before he can testify for himself? They looked at me. And they said, are you too a Galilean? I looked in their eyes. There was no hope of a fair trial, no prudence of something good, of justice. There was only murder in their eyes. They knew what they wanted to do, and they were going to do it. And so I sat back, hands at my side, being the good Nicodemus, the Pharisee, member of the Sanhedrin. So Caiaphas, the high priest, comes now. There's one thing I can say about him. He could speak his mind. He was bold. He was strong. He would go against Pilate's orders. Pilate, the ruler of the city of Jerusalem over Rome. He would go against him and challenge him. I couldn't do that. And Caiaphas, self-righteous, went up to Jesus and he said, enough of this farce. Let us make this thing plain and have no other doubts. Are you declare yourself to be the Christ, the Son of the living God? For the first time, it seemed like hours in that trial, there was silence. No one spoke. You almost could cut it with a knife. That's how thick it was. Jesus, my teacher, spoke. And it wasn't a bold voice shouting at Caiaphas. It was a small voice, almost like a whisper. Two words. And in those two words, I heard more courage and more truth than anything I've heard before. I am. And immediately at this, Caiaphas, he tore his robes in anger and he screamed, blasphemy! Have you heard this? We do not need to hear anything anymore. Take him away. And they took Jesus away. They beat him. They said nasty things to him. They took him away to be crucified. And I just stood there. Alone. Coward. The snakes went off with the Lord and I was no better. I was sitting there. Standing. Silent, a coward. Though I know something about cowardice. I went to Jesus once, you know, at night. I went to him in secret for fear of anyone else finding out what I was doing, of finding out that their vaulted Nicodemus, their teacher of the law, was going to some just guy wandering around and teaching. But I went. And I asked so many questions of him, and I couldn't make anything out hardly. My eyes were fixed to heaven, to my Lord, for I am getting old. And I asked him, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And he said to me, I must be born again. My parents are long dead. My mother is in the tombs, in the hills. And so I said, do I need to go back into her womb to be born out again? He looked at me and smiled, and he said, flesh begets flesh, but spirit begets spirit. He who wishes to be born again must be born of water and spirit. I don't understand that. But he went on. He said to me, just as Moses raised up the serpent in the wilderness, the Son of Man himself must be raised up. For God so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save it. And I couldn't make sense of this. And I kept my eyes on him, followed him where I could from a distance, and that's led me here, to the cross, where my Savior, my teacher, is dead. But I will not be a coward anymore. I cannot be that man anymore. I have spoken with Joseph of Arimathea. I, who was once a strong, proud man of the people of Jerusalem, rich beyond what you can even imagine, will become poor. I will give up my titles. I will give up everything. I am done being the coward. I have already gone and gotten the rights for his body. I will take him down. I will give him proper burial rites. I will put on the spices, and I will lay him in Joseph's tomb. And I don't do this because I think he's dead. Oh no, far from it. As the Son of Man must be lifted up, I know that he will come again. For he told all of us who were following him, who were listening to him, that he would give the Pharisees a sign. And it wouldn't be a sign that they wanted. They wanted a miracle. He said the only sign that he would give to us is a sign of Jonah, 3 days in the belly of a whale, and then spat up from that dark place. And so 3 days he will be in the grave. And he will come alive again. This is now my hope. And I know it to be true. It is a stronger feeling than I have ever felt in my life. And there's more pride and more joy in my heart now that I am giving up what I once was. And now see plainly what must be done and who I follow. There isn't much time. My hands have much work to do in a couple of hours. But it all began with a snake. And I remember that lesson well from my childhood. For the snake will bruise the Savior's heel, and the Savior will crush his head. And I know that this snake does not have the last word.